Just as we heard last night, where we don't always understand what Jesus is up to, so do we not always recognize God's action in the world around us. This is what we see going on for the humans in our stories this evening. For Isaiah, there is no recognition of who this suffering servant is. Though he's wounded and crushed for our transgressions and iniquity, we count him as of nothing. We do not understand what he is doing, but simply think that he is accursed, afflicted. Think that God is against him, rather than God using him for our own restoration. And of course, we see this with Jesus too. We see pretty consistently humans who don't understand who Jesus is. Humans who don't understand what Jesus is going to accomplish. And humans, in light of that, who want to say what they understand is what is most important. You see that we often, when we don't recognize fully what God is doing, want to impose our own understandings, our own wills, our own viewpoints about God onto the world around us. Instead of recognizing the truth of Christ as God's own Son, we see the religious leaders and authorities operating out of their perception that Jesus is one who needs to die. And it is this goal they pursue without abandon, steamrolling anything and anyone in their path to accomplish their objective. And we get to see then some strange things unfold in our story, especially we who understand that Christ is the Son of God. That as they go through this mock trial, striking Jesus for simply speaking the truth, they make their way to Pilate's headquarters, but don't go in, because they don't want to risk ritual defilement. And we, of course, recognize how strange this seems. That ritual defilement, of course, meant one's ability to draw near to God, to go to the temple, to offer sacrifices, to be able to follow the prescribed practices of the Passover, which is what they wanted to make sure they could do. That in short, that they want God to be pleased with them and to accept their presence, even as what they are doing is demanding the death of God's own Son. That's why this is a little peculiar. But they're willing to adhere to these guidelines and rules, even as they're not willing to not commit murder, to demand the death of one who is innocent. And that seems a little strange to us. Of course, it continues. We see them even steamrolling Pilate, who keeps saying, I want to release Jesus. They say, no, crucify him. And in John's gospel, Pilate doesn't even remind them of his tradition of releasing a prisoner. They simply demand that Barabbas be released instead of Jesus. And when Pilate lifts up Jesus as a possibility, they vehemently say no. And in their goal of serving these systems that they have created, their traditions, these laws on the books, we see a more heartless interaction with the individuals in their midst as they realize that the men on the cross have not died in a proper time. So they order their legs to be broken so that they can die before the day is up. This is not an act of mercy and compassion. It is simply because, well, the Sabbath's approaching and they shouldn't be on the cross on the Sabbath. So we see this almost wanton disregard for compassion for the individual as the leaders of the people become so fixated on accomplishing this singular goal of destroying Jesus' life, of saying that they are here to uphold these laws and traditions, both secular and religious, but missing all along any form of compassion for the individual along the way. And our challenge is that as we too can fall prey to these same forces, as we too can act in the same way as the chief priests and Pharisees, that we can get so caught up in our own understandings and impose our own viewpoints on the world that we are willing to run roughshod over anyone who gets in our way. We are willing to utilize any system or governance or tradition around us that will support us and allow us to accomplish our objective. Even as we do all of this, we will be convinced that we are doing the best we can, that we are following God properly, that God would be pleased with us for living and acting in these ways. Now, surely this is what the religious leaders thought themselves. They were taking care of their nation. They were seeking to honor God by getting rid of someone who they saw as a blasphemer. But we know that even their goal isn't really accomplished, at least the way they thought. They thought, oh, if we can get rid of Jesus, our nation can be spared. And sure, it is true that this death of Jesus does provide for the redemption of not only their nation, but the whole world. But if their goal was to keep Jerusalem standing, they still failed in that, as almost 50 years later, it will crumble. Of course, Jesus shows us a very different way of being, a different way of relating and reacting. In our stories today, Jesus, our teacher and Lord, is still modeling for us a different path. See, Jesus also has a task before him, one that is far greater than the chief priests and the Pharisees. I think we can acknowledge that trying to kill one person is a smaller goal than seeking to bring about the redemption and restoration of all the world and to undo the powers of sin and death that have enslaved humanity since the fall at creation. Jesus' task is clearly bigger. It is broader. It is cosmic in scope. I cannot fathom the depth of the undertaking that Jesus has before him. And yet even so, even though this task is huge, Jesus never once forsakes the individuals he meets along the way. At the very beginning, Jesus cares for these disciples. Don't take any of them, Jesus says. These are my friends, and I want them all to be spared. You see, still, Jesus caring for us, serving us, loving us. And so he demands these disciples to be spared. Jesus knows that his going to the cross will mean they would have life anyway. That it ultimately, in the scheme of things, doesn't really matter if they bring a few disciples along or not. But still, Jesus wants them to be cared for. Spare them, he says. We see Jesus focusing on relationship, I think, and the truth. This is what we see Jesus doing throughout his journey to the cross with the individuals that he meets. He strips them bare and wants them to focus on right relationship and what is true. This happens with the high priest as he says, and you can ask anyone what my teaching is. This is what's true, and he is struck for it. And he highlights that this is a problem. I don't care if you are the high priest. I don't care how much power and authority you think you have. You cannot strike without abandon. You cannot push back against the truth. I think we see something similar going on with Pilate. Jesus is relating to him in ways that he can't fully understand, but is trying to help Pilate see the truth. Pilate is still in his own frame of reference, still offering his own perspective, and Jesus is laying out for him that it may not be exactly as you think. And when Pilate gets frustrated and wants to throw his own weight around to say, look at the power and authority I have over you, Jesus lays him bare. You would have no power and authority if it was not given to you by somebody else. And they only have that power and authority because someone gave it to them. You are but a human. No better, no worse than anyone else in this world, Pilate. See that truth. This is what Jesus is doing for us. Lays us bare. Seeks to relate to us directly. seeks for us to know the truth and to hear his voice and to belong to that truth. This is hard for us because we don't want to be laid bare, stripped away of our understandings about our own greatness or power or how we have gotten things right or wrong. But Jesus, of course, pushes ahead, even as we might have to wrestle with some of these things. And even on the cross, still demonstrates care and compassion for those around him. He takes the time to see his mother and this disciple and establishes relationship between them. In the midst of this grand and cosmic scheme, Jesus never once neglects the individuals that have been gathered about him. This is the model Jesus is giving to us, I think. That no matter what our goal and our outcome we are seeking to achieve, we are not to neglect the individuals that God has put in our path. We are to approach each person with care and compassion, seeking to promote right relationship and to speak truth in this world. Because this is what Jesus does. And even if our goal was as great as redeeming the whole world and opening the path to eternal life, which, let us be clear, our goals are never that great, nor could we accomplish them if they were. But even if that was our goal, Jesus still shows us that care and compassion for those whom we find along the way is still to be our focus. That we cannot run roughshod or steamroll others in the path to get what we want accomplished. We must speak the truth in love. Now, based on the other humans in our story, we know this is a tough road for us. We know that we will struggle to behave in these ways. This has not come easily for us people of God. No. We must follow Christ. We must come to the cross ourselves and be laid bare. We need Jesus, who accomplishes this great and cosmic act, to relate to us individually, specifically, to help us be laid bare once more and to hear the truth that Christ would proclaim to us, that we might live in this way. We too need to encounter the depth of Christ's love and compassion overflowing from the cross for us. And as we do, we are sent into this world with that same love, to have care and compassion upon all those whom we meet, regardless of what goals and objectives we have in our minds. So as we go forth this night, may we remember the love that God poured out for us from the cross. And may we carry that love with us, that we might celebrate and share the love of Christ in this world, today and always. Amen.